I want to just follow on to the theme that the children have presented to you this morning. And I want to speak to you about one or two things that are really on my heart this Christmas time. I've been thinking about this late great potentate, this man who came too late for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he does illustrate for us great numbers of people who come to our church over the years, over the months, and who come into the services and drift out again. It never ceases to be a source of spiritual amazement to me how the Lord works in a congregation like this. You'll get a lot of people sitting like this today, and somebody will preach, and then there'll be one who will be reached here and one who will be reached there, and others whom you've brought and prayed for just won't be reached at all. And they'll go out and you'll say, now why weren't they reached by what they saw and heard? And yet others will be reached and they'll be brought to a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people just leave it too late. They insist on doing that. And this little musical this morning just reminded me again of the many people who hear and hear and hear and yet never do anything about the Christ of Christmas. It's that time of the year when there's a lot of busyness and hustle and bustle. And do you know that the whole world at the present moment is geared to stop you of thinking of the one great thing that's going to happen to all of you who are here this morning? And that is sometime or other you are going to die, and I'm going to die as well. Last Sunday morning, I had the joy of being out at our new little fellowship that has just recently started in Paarl, and some of the Paarl people are here this morning. And it was such a joy to be with them, just about 25 or 30 people, men, women, and children who are meeting there. And it's a kind of a granddaughter church to this church. It was given birth to by Stellenbosch, which is our daughter church, so I reckon that makes it a granddaughter to us here at Kenilworth. And it was such a joy to be with them and to speak to them and to present the gospel to them. There was one dear lady there who used to belong to this church and come here, and she loves the Lord Jesus with all her heart, and she came up afterwards and she thanked me for the message and she thanked me for the service, and she was so full of gratitude for the opportunity of just being there and hearing the word of God. And that was just wonderful. But you see, on Tuesday she died and she went to heaven. And she did not know that that was going to be her last church service, any more than anyone else knew it. Any more than you may not know that this may be your last church service, or it may be my last church service, and the last time that I'll ever get an opportunity to present the gospel to you. And the great God of heaven and earth is going to hold me accountable for your souls. There is nothing that weighs more upon me, my dear friends, than to stand here Sunday by Sunday and to present you with the gospel. And I have my temptations like you have yours. Sometimes my temptation is to pander to the crowd. Sometimes my temptation is to try to preach as intellectually as I can to impress certain people. And sometimes the temptation for me is to tell as many jokes as possible so that I can get you to laugh and like me. That's the sort of temptation that comes to a person like myself. But I made a vow a long time to God that I would never try to fritter away time in the pulpit, because your souls are too precious and time is too short and the responsibility is too great to fool around. And I just never can understand why it is that so many people don't think about the great things of life. Like, for instance, dying. People say to me, why do you preach about death? I mean, at Christmas time, and that's a strange sort of thing to preach about. Sometimes I speak about it at a wedding service, and they think to themselves, what is this man on about? I mean, it's a wedding service. It's a happy occasion. Why talk about things like that? And yet, do you know that even in our wedding service, death is placed there particularly to remind us of the great event that's going to take place in our lives? Don't the young couple promise that they're going to be faithful and true to each other until when? Until death parts them. That's right. That's the one thing, you see, friends, that I'm absolutely certain about my children. I have three children. I have two sons and I have a little girl. And I love them very dearly and I pray for them every day. I do not know who they're going to marry one day, although I pray that God will raise up godly partners for them. I hope you pray for your children in that regard. I do not know what they're going to do with their lives one day. I pray that their lives may be spent usefully, but I do not know what they're going to do with their lives one day. I don't know where they're going to finally land up in this world. I don't know whether they're going to stay in this country or land up overseas or what's going to happen to them. I have no idea. But there's one guarantee I have. One thing I know for sure that I can predict about my children, that is each one of them is going to die. And I'm going to die. And you are sitting here, we're going to die. And we can't take these things for granted, and we can't just glibly just pass over it. And yet when you go down to Dion's or to Ochre Bazaars or into Checkers or into Pick and Pay or into Studdiford's or into any one of the great big shopping centres that's available now in the city, do you know that the whole city is geared to make you think about life? all the tinsel and all the glitter and all the Father Christmases and all the presents and all the bargains and all the consumer goods and all the adverts that you hear and see on TV and the newspapers and so on is geared to make you think you're going to live forever. But you're not going to live forever. And neither am I going to live forever. And just like that king who approached, who came along today and approached these children and was too late for the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, friends, that it's possible for us in real life to be too late if we don't watch our steps and do something about the opportunities given us. So let me tell you just briefly as I close this service, let me tell you of three people in the New Testament who I believe were too late. They were too late. And their stories are there for us to read in the New Testament. No time to read it this morning, so I'll just tell you about them quickly and then close the service and make an offer to you. The first is known as the rich young ruler. It's a well-known story. You can read about it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. And here's a young man who had everything going for him. But here is a young man who came to Jesus and found it didn't work for him. Are you like that? Are you sitting here today saying, well, you know, I tried it all when I was younger and it didn't work for me. And when I was a young person, I went to Sunday school and all that stuff, and it didn't work for me. And I went to church schools, didn't work for me. And I was in the youth group, and I made a commitment to Christ, but it didn't last. And here I'm sitting now, I've been brought here because my kids are in the cantata or the musical or whatever, but it didn't work for me. Here was a young man who came to Christ, and it didn't work for him, and I think you ought to know why it didn't work for him. You see, he had everything on his side, did this young fellow. He had money. I don't know whether he inherited it or just invested money wisely or what, but he had money. He had youth on his side. He had power. He was a ruler, the Bible says. So I suppose he had lands and all the rest of it. And he had everything going for him. But he had something, you see, that his money couldn't buy. He had a need that his money couldn't buy for him, couldn't fulfill for him. And that need is represented in many lives and hearts here this morning. He had a longing inside that he could not describe and he could not pinpoint until this moment when he came before the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel chapter 10. He had a need. There is a longing inside. The Bible describes it as a thirst. Sometimes it describes it as a hunger. There is a part of us, a spiritual part of us, a dimension to our makeup. God has so created us that there's a spiritual part of us that needs to be satisfied that nothing in the world can satisfy. And sometimes this need is so pressing that we sometimes feel that we're going to go out of our minds. We get so frustrated. That's why people get depressed and they try to fill their lives with activities and with parties and friends and a whole social round, and they adopt all kinds of strange values to fill this need inside. Sometimes they land up in tranquilizers and all sorts of things. But there is a hunger inside of us, and it's for God. And this young man, when he saw Jesus, he recognized it. And so he came and he asked the Lord Jesus such an important question that the Holy Spirit has recorded it for us forever in the Bible. He said, Lord, what must I do? He said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That was his need. He needed a relationship with God. He needed to know that there was more to life than just the lands and the money and the goods that he had accumulated here on planet Earth. And the Lord Jesus gave him the right answer. The Lord Jesus said, well, if you want eternal life, this is what you've got to do. You've got to go and sell all that you've got, give it away to the poor, and come and follow me. Now, I want to tell you that Jesus doesn't tell everybody that. And that's not to say that anybody who's got any kind of money or goods or anything like that has got to get rid of it before they become a Christian. It's not wrong to be rich. Do you see? But that wasn't the issue here. The Lord Jesus was putting his finger on something in this man's life, and he may do the same for you today. You see, he put his finger on the thing in this man's life that had become his God, and that was his money. And the Bible tells us that when this young man heard what our Lord said, he turned away and he went away sad. He didn't come to Jesus, he turned away and he went away. Now there's many a man and woman, many young and old, who come to this church who have exactly the same thing happening to them Sunday by Sunday in this church. They hear the preacher preaching and the Holy Spirit puts his finger on the thing in their lives that has become a God to them. It may be a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a mistress, or some love affair, or some business deal, or whatever the case may be. I don't know what it is. Could be one of a thousand things. And the Holy Spirit puts that thing, his finger on that thing in your life. And he says, now if you want to follow Christ, you can't have Christ and that. You can't have Christ and that. And there's many a man or woman who chooses rather the God in his own life than the God of heaven, like this young man did. And he went away grieved. And I want to tell you that this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he reminds me of this potentate who was portrayed before us today. He reminds me of it. You know why? Because he came to Christ too late in life. When is too late? I don't know when too late is. There are people in this church who came to Christ at the ripe old age in life. I know people in this church who've come to Christ in their 60s, in their 70s. Our beloved Uncle Les and his wife, they came to Christ way after retirement. When they already retired, they came to Christ. There are some people who, like this man, young man, still in the prime of his youth, who found it was too late. Do you know why it was too late? Because he'd already lost his heart to the world. That's why. And when he was confronted by none other than the person of the Lord Jesus himself, and given the choice of eternal life or his own lifestyle, he chose his own lifestyle. You know, friends, he had privileges you haven't got. Because you see, all you've got is me to tell you about Jesus, or Ernest Elms, or Des Inglesby, or Barry, or whoever, to tell you about Jesus. But this man met Jesus personally, and he made the wrong choice, the wrong decision. But I want to tell you that as really as Jesus confronted him, he confronts you today. He confronts you. And the choice, in essence, is exactly the same. You either choose your own ways and your own life, or you come to me. And for some of you, I believe you are on the verge of being too late. Too late, just like this potentate. You are on the verge of being too late. You've lost your heart to the world. And then there's another man in the New Testament that reminds me of this potentate today. He wasn't a real man. He was a figure in a parable that Jesus told. And it's come down to us as the rich fool. And it's recorded for us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 13 to 31, to 21. And this is a man whom Jesus said had all that money could buy. Like the first man, he was rich. But this is a parable, a story, you see. And he had everything that money could buy. He had all of his barns filled with goods, and he had land, and he had everything. And he said, I'm going to pull down my barns, and I'm going to build greater barns. And I'm going to put everything I've got into these barns, and I'm going to say to myself, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You live for today. You live for today. Now, I want you to notice certain things about this man. I hope that all the men will listen to me today. Listen, he was a rich man. I don't know of any person who doesn't want to be rich deep down in his heart, wouldn't like to be rich. He was a rich man. He had everything going for him financially. Then I want to tell you, he was a successful man. And I've yet to meet the man who is conscientious and who's earnestly trying to do something with his life who does not want to be successful in business. You want to be the most successful rep in your company, right? Or the most successful manager or department head or section head or foreman. Or you want to be a successful executive or whatever you want to be. You want to be successful. This man had success. He had everything. And it seemed that everything he touched just turned to gold, and all his investments came in. And he just accumulated money. You know, say it takes money to accumulate money. He had money and accumulated more. And I want to also point out he was a happy man. And don't let anyone tell you that you can't be happy without God. You can be. You can be happy without God. Of course, you can't have the happiness that reaches right down into the core of the soul. Because if you do not have God, the only happiness that you can enjoy is a happiness that depends on your circumstances. So long as you don't have cancer, you can be happy. So long as your husband doesn't have a heart attack at the age of 45, you can be happy. So long as you've got enough money to make ends meet and you've got a little bit stashed away and you can have your annual holiday and so on, you can be happy. So long as the kids do well at school and they don't get any serious diseases, you can be happy. See, your happiness depends on circumstances if you don't have God. But there is that kind of happiness to be had. So long as things are going well and everything's going well in life, you can be sort of happy and satisfied. And there is a certain kind of happiness and a certain kind of satisfaction that can be had without God, and that's the way this man was. But you see, although he was rich and successful and happy and satisfied, he was lost. And there are thousands of people today who don't know that they're lost. And it's hard to reach them because they live in the nice areas of our city and they've got lovely homes and they've done well in life and they've never had any great needs and no great tragedy has come their way and they've never committed any great sins. And it's hard to tell them, listen, friend, you are lost. You know what it means to be lost? It means that you are going to hell. It means that you do not know God and that when death finally comes, you'll be separated from him forever. Now, we don't have any satisfaction in telling people that. There is no glee or happiness in my heart to tell people that at all. I say that with a sob in my heart today, that men and women without Christ are going to hell. And this man did not realize that for him, that night, the clock was going to strike 12. It was finished. And God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required. And he was summoned to stand before his Maker. Now, my dear friends, you read your newspapers this week, haven't you? You have seen the countless numbers of road accidents that have taken place. Is death any respecter of persons? Does death first check out your age before it comes? No, it doesn't. Does death give you a warning? No, it doesn't. It doesn't come at all with a warning. It just comes. And that night, God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required. And he was summoned to stand before his Maker. I don't want to tell you why he reminds me of the potentate. You know why? because, you see, he left it too late to do anything about his soul. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that this man was anti-God. I'm not saying for one moment that he didn't intend to do something about his soul, but he left it too late. Too late. And suddenly death struck. And there he stood before his creator. And now, who is going to own his bonds and his goods and his money and his estate? What is going to happen to it? What enjoyment was he going to take, have out of it now? Now that he's standing naked before God, he had taken care of everything in life except his soul. And this Christmas time, as we worship the Christ child, that's the question you've got to ask yourself. You may have taken care of everything in life. Oh, you've taken such care about the presents you bought. Isn't that right? You wanted to get something special for those special people in your life. And you've gone to all kinds of trouble to find just the right thing. And you've taken no pains about your soul. Now, I know that countless numbers of you here today, hundreds of you belong to this church, and you are safe for all eternity. I thank God for every one of you who is a Christian. But I'm thinking of guests and family members who've come today. Perhaps you don't come to church any other time except Christmas time. Perhaps you wouldn't have been here this morning were it not for the fact that you were invited to see the children. Listen, you may never come again, but listen to this tonight. Listen to this today. If you walk out of this church without the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are lost. You are lost. And I plead with you for your sake not to leave it too late to do anything about your soul. The last man I want to draw your attention to is a governor. His name is Felix, and his story is written in Acts chapter 24. And he had the Apostle Paul before him in chains because Paul was a prisoner for preaching the gospel. And Paul preached the gospel to this governor. Now, this governor Felix was a man whose reputation stunk. He was morally an absolute profligate. He was a bad governor. He was one of those Roman governors who took advantage of the position in his day, and he was notoriously bad. And yet this bad man had a conscience. My friend, there is no one so bad but that God can't reach that conscience. And as Paul preached the gospel to him, the Bible says he trembled. Oh, thank God for a conscience. Do you know, my dear friends, in this life, the worst judgment that can befall a man is not cancer or accidents or financial collapse or loss of a family, bad as those things may be. The worst thing that can happen in this life to any man or woman by way of a judgment from God is the loss of your conscience. Thank God for our consciences. He speaks to us through our consciences. Our consciences, when they're still tender, keep us from committing great and grievous sins. And here was this man so sunken in sin, and God, in infinite, gracious, sovereign mercy, still awakens his conscience, and he trembles. But you know, trembling isn't sufficient. Some of you have sat in this church and you've trembled, and it hasn't been sufficient because you haven't been converted. And so Felix said to the Apostle Paul, he said, Paul, go away. And when I've got a convenient time, I'll call for you to come back again. Of course, he never did. He left it too late. Haven't you said that to your wife, or to your husband, or to your children, or to your parents? Go away. Don't talk to me about religion now. Don't come on with all this religion stuff now. You're always shoving it down my throat. Come on, forget it now. You know, you come on too strong. And you're always pushing it down, and I'm not ready for it. When I'm good and ready, then, you know, I'll think about it, or I'll come to church, or whatever. When will you be ready? When? Can you prophesy, predict when you will be ready? That rich young man thought he was ready. He fell at Jesus' feet and said, what must I do? But he wasn't ready. That rich fool, he might have thought he was ready. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. This night your soul is required. Felix says, Paul, go away. When I've got a convenient time, I'll call for you. But it never came. Never came. They left it too late. Now, I want to tell you this today. It's not too late this morning. My Lord Jesus, who's my master, has instructed me to tell you that the gate is still open. The door is wide. His arms are outstretched. The blood of the cross still avails. There's still pardon to be had. There's still mercy to be had. And this Christmas time could be the most momentous Christmas of your life if you'll come to him. because it's not too late now. And this morning is another opportunity for you to come to the Savior. Those of you who come to this church regularly know that we often give these magazines away. It's called Peace with God, and it's written by Billy Graham. And I want to give one to you this morning. Now, I don't want to give one to you if you're a Christian, and I don't want to give one to you if you want it for a friend. I want to give it to you if you want it for yourself, because you feel that you have got to get right with God. All right? And so as I close the service now with prayer and coffee served outside, and I hope you'll stay, you'll find our chapel doors open. You can go through this door or go around, or you can go through that door and go into the passageway behind me, and you'll find our chapel there with the doors open, and Maureen and a whole team will be there, and they would like to give you one of these magazines and take your name and address so we can keep in touch with you. If you feel personally that you want the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you don't want to leave it any longer, it's for you, and it's free, and we want you to come and take it. And that will be your sign to us, your signal to us, that you want to find the Lord Jesus for yourself. Will you take that opportunity? He is here. He invites you. And as his representative, I'm urging you to come. Now will you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this lovely message in song that we've had this morning. Just a little fantasy to remind us of a great truth, that it is possible for the moment to arrive when we are too late for heaven. But I thank you for my Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit, who so orders things that it's not yet too late. The gospel is still preached, and men and women can still come to Christ and find hope and mercy and pardon and forgiveness. I pray for each and every one here today. I pray for those moms and dads and grannies and grandpas and uncles and aunts who are here today who may never have been confronted by the gospel before. Will you soften hearts, dear Lord? Perhaps years and years of a certain lifestyle, years and years of certain beliefs, will you soften it all and bring these people to see that there's no way to heaven apart from our Lord Jesus, and grant that this very morning they'll come to him. Now we ask you to part us with your blessing. We ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with each and every one of us, now and forever. Amen.